Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
Happy Friday, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are in your car, please drive safe. If you are in the comfort of your home or office, thank you for spending the time with us. And thank you for continuing to follow us at sdriseup.com. We have all of our information on there. There's information about past shows, guests. There's also a button on there to nominate heroes. As you know, we are empowering San Diego servant leaders, and we are sharing the good news. And we want to hear from you. What are the stories that you know about that you want to hear? Who are San Diego's local heroes? It could be the pastor of your church. It could be the military officer in your neighborhood. It could be your boss. It could be that small business owner, your kid's little league coach or teacher. Our commitment here at Rise Up Radio is to share the good news and share the stories and empower San Diego servant leaders. So follow us at sdriseup.com and get engaged and continue your engagement with us. So we have a couple great guests lined up for you today. We have a fantastic show. Before we bring in our first guest, we want to cover a little bit of hot topics, what's going on in San Diego this weekend. We've had beautiful weather. We're kicking off November. November? Like, I can't believe it's Christmas.
Where did
in
the
like
year go?
7 weeks. Where did the year go? We're getting excited for Thanksgiving in my house. We're actually having some people come from the East Coast to visit us. Our first time hosting in the new house. So really excited about that.
You got a bunch of people coming to see the baby for the first time?
Yeah, there's a handful of people that are going to come meet baby Connor for the first time, so it's exciting.
It's awesome. Well, yeah, you know, it's getting a little chilly, but it's nice. It's always nice here in San Diego. And you think, okay, well, what's going on in Qualcomm? You know, the Chargers aren't playing there more, but there's still some running going on. There's some running going on. There's a 5K called the Happiest 5K on Earth.
Happiest 5K on Earth.
Kind of sounds like an oxymoron, right?
Yeah, because I'm not a runner.
Well, it's one of these colored ones. So you wear a white t-shirt, and as you run, people throw the powdered color at you.
Ah, okay. So you come out looking like a rainbow.
Yeah, by the time you're done, you look like a rainbow. But also, there's another interesting run in Encinitas. On Sunday, they're going to try to break the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest race on sand. It's a 5K on sand.
5K on sand. My ankles hurt just thinking about that.
Yeah, me too.
But good for Encinitas. Largest 5K on sand. Okay.
Hopefully they break it. And then, you know, here in San Diego, craft beer is such a big thing. It's the start of Beer Week, which is 10 days, and all the little craft beers places around San Diego are doing things from beer pairings with chocolate cheese and donuts to special events, music, and that stuff. So check out your local brewery and see what they've got going on for the next 10 days.
Beer Week. I like it.
And the Sockers are playing. The Sockers are playing on Sunday against Syracuse Silver Knights for $12. Like I was saying earlier, we're off air. You can't even get a movie ticket for that. So
you can't even get a movie ticket for that. That's great.
Watch some indoor soccer. It's high scoring. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely. I know we got the Gulls on the road. So go support the Sockers and check out Beer Week responsibly. I'd actually be quite curious about beer and donut pairing.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one. A lot of calorie intake there.
A lot of calorie intake. So after that, go to the Encinitas run and lose some calories. Hopefully they break the record there. Folks, you are listening to Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. With me in studio, our first guest is Kevin Narcomi, and Kevin is the founder and CEO of Asiola Consulting. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we even dive into Asiola, let's go there first. Cause that is such an interesting, it's an interesting name. And what is the origin and the backstory of that, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I always say it's hard to spell, hard to pronounce, but there is a story back to it. Asiola was a tribal chief back in the 1800s, who led the resistance of the Seminole tribe to be moved to Oklahoma Territory.
Okay.
And so he was one of the tribal leaders, and the name actually stands for black drink. And so the pronunciation is actually Asiola, because when he drank the black drink, he sucked it down with such vigor that he yelled out, "Asi Yahola," and the name stuck. And so anyway, it happens to be my ancestry, my great-grandmother walked the Trail of Tears from Florida to Oklahoma. I grew up in Oklahoma. And actually, it's my middle name is the other little-known fact. And it's also my kid's middle name. So we all share the same middle name. And so when it came time to start the company, Native American-owned business, what are the name to come up with other than Osceola?
I love that story. I love that story. And I love that you put so much thought into the naming of the company, let alone the middle names of your children.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So let's back up a little bit. You know, what is your story? You know, you said you grew up in Oklahoma. You know, where did you go to school? How did you get into business? What was your path?
Yeah, I grew up in Oklahoma, youngest of three boys, two older brothers.
Okay.
Single mother. And so in terms of education, my parents both pushed education really, really strong.
Yep.
My dad spoke fluent Seminole Indian language, but his point was to learn English, get educated, and that's really your path, you know, to really kind of, integrate into society as mm-hmm. opposed to try to isolate, which is good and bad in the sense that, yes, I know English and got to know and got integrated, but culturally, that's part of the issues with the Native American tribes today is they don't speak the language anymore because there are just so few of them left. And so anyway, my background is I grew up in Oklahoma and, you know, just with being the youngest, we're literally on food stamps. My mother saw that I was fairly bright. And so she said, well, if you want to go to college, you're going to have to earn it and you might be able to get a scholarship. And so I did apply for a Native American scholarship. Part of that, you had to write an essay to say, if you win the scholarship, then what are you going to do to give back to your communities?
Mm.
And so fast forward to many years later, when I did come time to, start my own business, you know, that's always been in the back of my mind was how do I give back to the Native American communities?
I mean, I love that.
And really all, you know, local disadvantaged communities. I mean, that's, you know, that's really part of, you know, our commitment.
Yeah. It's you were given a hand up and it's almost like, you know, you felt that responsible obligation. Okay. I need to give others a hand up
mm-hmm.
and help people along this journey. And I'm a huge believer in that. You know, we all have our challenges and our opportunities in life and we have a responsibility to give back to others and share to help them find their journey and find their path in life.
Exactly. And it starts with education. Yep. And then it follows with commitment.
Yeah. And follow through.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you finished school and then where did your career kind of begin?
I got a degree in engineering and then I got a master's in business, and started out with a consulting firm called Arthur Anderson
back
in the day, later known as Accenture. I focused on the consulting technology, you know, industry. And that's really kind of our background with the company is, you know, leveraging that consulting background, leveraging the industry relationships. I started out with Accenture, grew up with them, became a partner 21 years with that company. And then several years ago, 2006, had the opportunity to go out on my own, to start something that I'd always been wanting to do. And that's to start a Native American owned business. And so now we're in our 11th year, as Osceola Consulting.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure that the timing was not fantastic, judging with the meltdown in the economy and what ensued 18 months after that.
Right.
From what I see, though, a lot of companies that are successful are born out of trying times. And when you have economic struggles, you have, you know, a marketplace that isn't necessarily ready for, you know, new ideas.
Right, right.
You put your flag in the ground and said, hey, we're doing this and we're going to do something different.
Right, right. And one of the things, I think with technology and consulting is really working with our clients to help them solve whatever problem they're trying to solve, whether it's some transformational change or business process change or technology implementation so that they can achieve their goals. And so that I think that helps in down times and helps in good times.
Yeah. I mean, it helps in down times, helps in good times. You know, having that intimate knowledge of what does your client or your customer really want.
Right.
And how do you fulfill on that need?
Right.
What are, you know, some of the clients that you guys have? What type of consulting are you doing?
When I was with Accenture, I focused on the utilities as my industry focus. Okay. And so that's carried forward. Sempra Energy, which includes San Diego Gas and Electric here locally, was one of our first clients. They're still our largest and most strategic client, including the sister company, Southern California Gas. So Sempra Energy Utilities has been very good to us in terms of sponsoring us, you know, through a number of different management development programs. And so we also work Northern California with Pacific Gas and Electric, with other utilities across North America, some larger ones, including Exelon and Southern Company Gas.
Wow. All right. So you guys are working with some big players. Yep. And providing a lot of value. Folks, we're just starting to dig in with Kevin Narcomi and Osceola Consulting. Native American-owned business, great business, started back in 2006. They're in their 11th year. They're doing great things in the marketplace, and they're expanding. So stick around. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to keep digging into Kevin's story. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question, why? I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to SDRiseUp.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to SDRiseUp.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. You are following us at SDRiseUp.com, and we're empowering San Diego servant leaders. And one of San Diego servant leaders doing great work in the community is none other than Kevin Narcomi, who is the CEO and founder of Osceola Consulting, which is a Native American minority-owned consulting firm that began in 2006. And we're so excited to have Kevin in the studio with us and continue the story. So, Kevin, I know, you know, you've been a leader in the community here. You are supporting the economy. You're an employer. You're providing jobs. You know, let's continue on that, like providing jobs. And I see here, you know, with your technology center, the Morongo Indian Reservation, what are you guys up to?
Yeah, so that came about 2-3 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. And when you start a new business, your first focus is just building the business from scratch and just getting, you know, the next, you know, sort of opportunity.
Being scrappy, yeah, how do we exactly. Just grow this thing?
And so, you know, once we got to that point where we could, you know, really start to turn the corner, we had an opportunity working with one of our clients, you know, here locally, San Diego Gas and Electric, to pilot a project where we put part of the team, you know, here on the reservation, you know, near Palm Springs, the Morongo Indian Reservation. We had been sponsored by the sister company, Southern California Gas, to do a business plan as part of a management development program. And so as part of that business plan, it was, you know, hey, I want to launch a business within a business, which is this technology center on the Indian Reservation, onshore services versus offshore services, not to compete with offshore, but really to complement it. Hire locally, train locally, build local workforce. And so I went around to the different tribes. After we did the business plan, went around to the different tribes, shopped that with them, talked to the different utilities, got a lot of buy-in on the concept. But we needed sort of the opportunity to make it happen. And so the Morongo Indian Tribe was willing to give us the space and the land and the place to work. And then SDG&E was willing to give us a try to give it a pilot on one of our projects. And then we then expanded that into other business process services. And so, you know, now we have a full-blown capability on the reservation to provide technology services, business process support, industry solutions like GIS and mapping for the local utilities. So it's been a huge success, and we're actively looking to grow it and, you know, potentially even replicate that, you know, other places.
Yeah. And how many people are employed in that, in the company and in that project?
In the technology center, we have about 25 to 30 staff working there day to day.
Great.
And then it has capacity up to 50, and then we've, you know, looked to expand that, you know, beyond that. Overall, we have about 150 consultants across all of our different, you know, projects, you know, in North America. So, you know, very, you know, industry focused.
Yep. And you guys are hiring now?
And we are hiring. There's plenty of new work out there, plenty of opportunities, you know, with our clients. And so, yeah, definitely.
Great. Great. Okay. And let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what else you're doing in San Diego to be involved. I mean, I love having local business owners in San Diego. First and foremost, you're creating jobs and you're training people up. You're giving back to the community. You know, what else? So you have this technology center. What else does that look like for you guys?
Yeah. So one of the things also with hiring locally is we're working with the local workforce development groups, you know, in Riverside County. And actually they'll sponsor us for training. And so if we can hire kids straight out of school or over from another Native American reservation. So the Morongo tribe is one thing, but we also are looking to recruit Native Americans from other locations that maybe just need a chance, and we could give them, you know, like a rotation. So we could do like an apprentice program or a internship or whatever it is to further their ability to gain those skills, grow those skills, and serve our clients. So we are actively right now, one project, even right as we speak, looking to hire to fulfill that. And then again, you know, work with the local groups to sponsor us. Other things we do here locally, we partner with our clients on different programs. I just got elected to the board of American Lung Association. We do that together with SDG&E.
Congratulations.
So that's been just been involved last three or four years, and it's a win-win where we can, you know, tag team with our clients, support the local communities. We've got an event coming up on November the 12th.
Really? Down at tell us about it.
Embarcadero Center. So it's a lung force walk. So anyone that wants to create a team or just come show up, please join us on November the 12th.
At the Embarcadero Center. Okay. We'll have information for that on our website so we can share that. We'd love to share that with our listeners in the Rise Up community. What else are you guys, you know, getting involved in on the volunteer side, on the initiative side of things that our listeners need to know about that we can get involved in or support you guys with or just share the message?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely from the standpoint of, you know, just getting the teams, one of the things we did with American Lung, if, for example, is since we're spread out across multiple locations, we thought, well, why don't we create virtual teams? So that way we can have, you know, online virtual teams that are still, you know, getting engaged, right? So even though they're in Chicago or at Palm Springs or San Francisco, you know, they can all be part of the, you know, the Lung Force Walk here in San Diego. So it's a way for us to network and expand our involvement. And again, we do partner with our clients on different efforts. We sponsor golf tournaments here locally. Yeah. We did the burn prevention program this last summer with SDG&E. So there's just, you know, a number of different avenues for our employees, our clients and their employees to work together and just tag team on these types of efforts.
I love it. What, you know, what are your plans for the future, and what else, you know, can be done to build on what you've already started?
Well, that's a great question, because I think with the Technology Center and with the you know, really the movement more towards onshore service providers, I think there's an opportunity there. And again, we're not trying to compete with offshore. There's definitely a place.
Just so I know the distinction, yeah, for a layperson like myself, offshore versus onshore.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, with outsourcing, whether it's technology outsourcing or business process outsourcing, typically it has been, you know, overseas, in, you know, other countries where the, you know, labor is cheaper.
Asia, Europe.
Yeah, Asia, Europe, where, you know, it's just cost of labor is much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so we can't compete with the cost of labor in, you know, in those countries, but we can reduce the cost of on-site services, you know, in some of the, you know, bigger cities, because we can hire locally, we can train, and we can, you know, really bring down the cost of those services. Plus, it's complementary to the offshore, and so we do see that that is a growing, you know, growing market, a growing opportunity for companies like ours. We don't have to do it all ourselves. We can partner with others. We can partner with big, you know, consulting firms mm-hmm. as well in delivering these services, and we can replicate this model. One of the things we've been exploring with, we have started a practice on the East Coast with some of our East Coast clients, and so we could pick another Native American tribe, or we could pick a urban center, you know, such as Chicago or Baltimore, and maybe it's an urban center where we, you know, tag team with the community, again, hire locally, train locally, and have a complementary service center in one of those other cities.
I love the collaboration. I mean, the collaboration is clear. Talk to us about, you guys just won an award last year, didn't you?
Yeah, we won a number of awards, actually. Okay. We were nominated here locally with our local clients, SoCal Gas and SDG&E. We won Supplier of the Year in Southern California. We won Regional Supplier of the Year and then National Supplier of the Year. It's a very competitive process. I think 16,000 firms were eligible. And we were competing with some big name, you know, construction services and media companies. And so we won that on a national basis. And we've also been featured in a number of our clients' publications. And then, you know, a couple of our local clients here, San Diego Gas Electric and SoCal Gas, have also given us client awards. So, yeah, it's been a good year. I think, you know, largely is, you know, I think they understand that we're here to help them. We're here together. They support us. We support them. I always say, you know, if you're, you know, good for your client and everything else, we'll kind of fall into place.
Absolutely. And, you know, and clearly, Kevin, I mean, Osceola is doing things the right way. I mean, you don't win all these awards and be brought in for all these partnerships and collaboration opportunities. Share for a second, what does that look like from you, from a management standpoint? How are you rewarding and acknowledging your people? How are you acknowledging the work that your workforce is doing? You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of it gets back to careers, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they're coming straight out of school or with workforce development programs, it could be sort of in a retraining mode. You know, maybe they were laid off or whatever. And so it's an opportunity to gain new skills. And so with those new skills, you know, they're looking for careers as well. So outsourcing by definition can be somewhat repetitive. And so the nature of the work can be repetitive, whether it's technology or business process. And so you have to then look for opportunities to move people around, give them other client opportunities, give them supervisory roles, and so really grow their, you know, career options. And so we've been lucky that we've had almost zero turnover with our initial staff at the Technology Center, you know, in our third year.
That's really saying something. That's a testament to your leadership, your management team, you know, and who you guys are for your people.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. What is what's the future look like for you guys? What's the future look like for Osceola?
Well, I think, you know, we've got a number of big projects coming up with some of our current clients. We've got some expansion opportunities with our clients out east. The utilities market right now is going through a lot of change. They're going through all the grid modernization programs for the electric grid. Same thing with the gas operations and safety factors on the gas networks. And so there's tremendous amount of opportunity in that space around the just the infrastructure to support the utilities, aging infrastructure across the U.S. and as well with just the digitization and just kind of utilities as they move more towards a digital provider.
Seems like the world is going digital.
Yeah. So, and they'll need partners. They'll need help. They'll need service providers. And we tag team with the consulting firms from a strategy and delivery and implementation standpoint. So there's plenty of opportunities. We just had a vendor forum last week with a number of other smaller minority-owned businesses like mine that we're looking to potentially bring in to help us fulfill the needs because we can't do it all. And so we need to bring in others. And that's another way that we can embrace the community that other businesses like myself, they're trying to get their businesses started.
Absolutely. Kevin, it's been a pleasure having you on. I love what your organization has done in 11 short years, and I love the amount of participation that you have here in San Diego. I love the fact that you're hiring locally, and your retention is so high. You're keeping people, you're training people. It just sounds like a fantastic Class A organization, so I thank you for that. Any parting words for our listeners?
It doesn't matter how much you contribute. It's the fact that you do. I think just be active, and everything else will come into play.
Absolutely, folks. So be active. We covered a lot with Osceola. We got an active weekend coming up. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you being a guest and a partner with Rise Up. Folks, we're going to take a short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Jared Kelly here, co-host of Rise Up Radio and the Rise Up Movement. We are having an amazing journey and just trying to hold on to this movement, but we need you to be a part of this. If you would like to sponsor what's happening on air and in the community with the Rise Up Movement, visit us at sdriseup.com. Let's rise up together and understand it is our job to maintain America's finest city. Visit us at sdriseup.com. That's sdriseup.com. Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under. But for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. You're following us at sdriseup.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Thank you for continuing to share the stories, empowering San Diego's servant leaders, and having us own that San Diego is America's finest city. We've had a great show so far. We have another rock star guest, local business owner, mama in the house, Flossie Hall. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Flossie Hall, you guys, is the founder and CEO of Healthy Mama. What is Healthy Mama?
So Healthy Mama is a meal delivery service that is focused on making healthy food affordable so that it's accessible to those who need it most.
I love that.
And yeah.
We're going to dig into that more because, as a bigger guy, one of the things that I can struggle with is how do I consistently eat healthy and not break the bank?
Absolutely.
you know, not all of us can shop at Whole Foods, not knocking Whole Foods, but
whole paycheck.
Yeah. So let's back up a second.
Sure.
So where are you from and how did all this begin?
So I am originally from New York.
Okay.
I am a military wife, so I've lived all over the country.
Okay.
I lived in Mississippi for a few years. I lived in Detroit for a few years. I went to the University of Michigan. So go blue.
Go blue.
Go blue. Graduated from Michigan. I had the goal to attend med school. So okay. It took me about 10 years, military life, multiple schools, multiple states.
Gotta transfer again.
Yeah, multiple kids during that time too. I do have four kids, age 18, 14, 8, and 6.
Wow, okay, so she started when she was 12.
Yeah, basically. I always say me and my oldest grew up together.
Okay.
So my whole goal was to, you know, be a doctor to help people. I'm fascinated with health and wellness. And during this time, after my second child, I ballooned up to a little over 200 pounds. And actually was hired by an EMT company, got my EMT license, and I failed the physical exam. They looked at me and said, maybe you should go work out a little bit and come back. I graduated top of my class, was hired on the spot, aced my practicals, and I was like heartbroken. I was like, oh my God, I'm fat and out of shape. So,
right, like let me just take you down a notch.
You know, how am I supposed to help other people get healthy if I'm not healthy myself? So I went home, I started tossing things out of my cabinet, and I made it a goal to figure out what this whole nutrition thing was. And this was about 8 years ago. So over time, I began to meal prep for myself and my family. I'd cook all of our food on Sundays. It saved us money, saved me time, saved me stress with kids and school. All we had to do was grab and go all week. So fast forward a little bit, I graduated from University of Michigan. We get to San Diego. I finally take my MCATs, finally apply to med school. In the meantime, I start meal prepping for some friends of mine who forced me to do it for them. And they're like, we love your food. You're doing it already. We're going to pay you to do it whether you like it or not. So I posted on social media that, hey, look, I actually got paid to meal prep, where for years I was just teaching people how to do it. I was giving them tips and tricks and recipes. I was going to their house. I was helping them shop. And I was like, nobody actually wants to do it. I'm wasting all my time like teaching and nobody's doing it.
Right.
So within a few months of doing it out of my house, I began making about 800 meals a week out of my home kitchen in military.
800 meals a week out of a home kitchen.
800. One stove, four burners, a lot of coolers, a couple refrigerators, and two fellow military spouse friends of mine. We'd wake up Sunday morning at like 4 a.m., bang out all these meals. People would come to my house and they'd pick them up at 6 o'clock every day. And I started to take a really good hard look at the market. And I was like, you know, there's nothing out there that is affordable. There's nothing out there that's for everybody. Everything is what I call six-pack abs in a box. It's $15. It's chicken and brown rice. It's gross. It's expensive. And then you come home. Not only did you spend your budget on this, you know, expensive, bland meal, you still have to cook for your husband and your kids. Or you pick up pizza for them while you're eating your gross six-pack abs in a box. So I was very determined to help people see that healthy food can be delicious and it can be cheap. It can be easy. So I had this crazy idea. My husband was deployed. I was like, I'm going to rent a commercial kitchen. And he was like, are you sure?
Are you sure about this?
Never taken a business class. I've never cooked commercially. I didn't even know how to cook when me and my husband got married, which is what he finds hilarious.
No way. So wait a minute. You didn't know how to cook?
No, I didn't. I grew up very dirt floor poor, welfare kid. Everything we ate was out of a box. We didn't know much about nutrition. Everything was, you know, freezer meals or canned SpaghettiOs, ramen noodles, things like that. So when my husband met me, I knew how to cook spaghetti and tacos and, you know, pretty much that was it. Hot pockets. I could microwave a mean hot pocket.
Like 122 seconds, not 124.
Yeah. So he, when, you know, I started my health journey, I started watching the Food Network and I was like, if I need to eat better, I need to know how to cook better. So I started learning how to cook and I was like, okay, well, I don't want just healthy food. I want regular food, but I want it to be healthier. So I would take enchiladas and I would make them healthier. I would take burgers and make them healthier. I would make pastas, but make them healthier. So over the years, you just kind of, I got the knack for it, obviously. So, fast forward in 2015, December, I looked online, looked on Craigslist and decided to rent a commercial kitchen. And it's the first time I've ever stepped foot in a commercial kitchen in my life and gave this thing a go.
Wow. Okay. So we start with four burner stove in the kitchen and some friends and getting up at 4 a.m. saying, all right, we can do this. We can help some people out.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have no clue how to do this, but I'm going to take the leap and start a commercial kitchen?
Yeah, I'm more of a doer, and I believe in failing forward. And I have a lot of people that I mentor now, and a lot of people are afraid to do things. And I'm like, you're never going to figure it out until you actually do it. I fail miserably all the time. But the problem is you have to get back up and go, okay, what went wrong? What went right? Why was the broccoli mushy? Why was the rice crunchy? How can I figure out this menu to make it faster, quicker, easier? You know, how can I get these flavors in here? And it's all about just trying things. I didn't know what I was doing, but I kept trying and I kept failing and doing something that turned out right and then doing two more things that came out right and so on and so forth.
Wow. You are impressive. You are extremely impressive. Let's back up a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your journey, your personal struggle with weight. I've struggled with that. People in my family have struggled with that, and my friends and, you know, and some of my coworkers and employees. What was it like when you first began? I mean, obviously you got the news that you can't be an EMT, right? What was that journey like, and what was it that had you be consistent? Because some people will start this and say, I can do it, and they get pumped up, and they get the gym membership, and and then 60 days later, they're back to their old patterns and routines.
So for me, and what I teach other people and other families, is that it's about baby steps that people try to take off. They try to bite off more than they can chew. They're like, I'm going to completely overhaul my diet. I'm going to start going to the gym 7 days a week. And then you burn out really fast because you've changed your lifestyle too much too quickly. So not many people can go from an American diet to a paleo diet. Your body is physically going to crash. Like, you'll go through withdrawals. You'll get headaches. You'll have carb cravings, sugar cravings. And within 5 days, you're reaching for donuts. So when I got home, I made it a goal of ours to set small goals every week. Every week, we're going to toss two items that we're never going to buy again. Pop-Tarts, Hot Pockets, microwavable junk food. And we're going to start swapping things. We're going to swap two or three things a week. And we're going to write these down on our fridge. So instead of white pasta, let's do whole wheat pasta this week. Instead of burger, we're going to do turkey burger. Instead of this cereal, we're going to try a less junkier cereal. So over time, it was just those baby steps that what was healthy to me 8 years ago is not what's healthy to me now, but it was healthier than what I was doing. So we have, you know, very indulgent dishes on our menu, but I believe that healthy food can be very satisfying. It can taste great. It can make you feel good. It can make you not completely starving for something completely different. So I had to figure out ways to take foods and just take those steps in the right direction, but do it together with my family. Because if I did it by myself, it's not sustainable. I wanted my kids to be healthy. I wanted my husband to be healthy. Because I want them to survive and live a long, healthy, happy life with me. It's not fair that I'm in the gym and I'm eating salads and chicken while I'm letting them have McDonald's and pizza. That's not the way it should be. So every week we set goals, like, let's go for walks after, you know, school, or hey, let's not have fast food for 7 days. If we cannot have fast food for 7 days, mom will take you bowling on Monday. And that was our goal. And just over time, the weight comes off. It becomes a lifestyle. Your kids are better for it. You get more active. They make healthier choices. They become healthier adults.
I love it. And I love the fact that you're encouraging, you know, people to do it as a family and do it as a unit, you know, and not just like, hey, mom or dad is on this health kick and everyone else is sitting there eating pizza and soda.
Yeah, it has to be a lifestyle change. And I tell everybody, you can't beat yourself up about it. It's two good steps for every bad step. So if you eat a donut, that's fine. It's not the end of the world. But make two good choices for that. You're still going to end up ahead. So we live an 80-20 lifestyle. 80% is healthy, and we do the best we can to stay active. But 20% is for our soul. It's the pizza and beer and, you know, the things that we do for comfort foods. But it's not the majority of what we do. If my kids want cookies, we don't buy cookies when we grocery shop. We will go to the store to buy cookies or ice cream, come home, eat it as a family, and then it's done. It's a snack. It's a treat. It's not something that lives in my cupboard.
Right. How did you, you know, and one of the other things you see with this is like, how do I cook healthy, right? Like, okay, I know that I need to eat less carbs, more vegetables, more proteins. Someone like me, I find myself going through a pattern of like, okay, great. I'll eat vegetables and hummus and beef jerky and cold cuts and then a protein. It's like I eat the same things all the time.
And then you get sick of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you burn out and you get bored.
I'm the same way, which is why honestly, like our menu is over 300 menu items, and we rotate it every week because I get sick of eating the same thing every week. And I eat our food. So I'm constantly adding new menu items because I need fun and new and exciting, or you'll burn out on it. You're like, okay, well, I love your taco salad. Okay, but if you eat it for 2 weeks in a row, you're going to be like, I'm so over that.
So over taco salad. Sorry, taco salad.
Yeah,
you got to go.
So
how did you teach yourself? You know, because you said earlier, like, you didn't know how to cook.
I followed the recipes. So I literally would sit with a notebook and a pen and I would write down recipes from Rachel Ray and I would cook them. And I'd go
Food Network, different sources online, YouTube,
and
whatever.
And you kind of figure out like sweets and spices go together and garlic and this kind of make a sauce and this, you know, kind of works together. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius to cook. But it's very intuitive, and I picked it up really fast, and my husband's very grateful for it.
Well, I'm grateful that you're on the show, and we're learning so much from you. Folks, you are listening to Flossie Hall, founder and CEO of Healthy Mama, which is revolutionizing the food industry, the healthy food industry, brought to you and your family so that you can live a sustainable life, and you can thrive, and you can slowly change that lifestyle to one of healthy foods that are going to nourish your body and nourish your family. I'm your host, James Carmody. Listen to Rise Up Radio. We're going to take a short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question, why? I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at sdriseup.com. With us in studio is Flossie Hall and Healthy Mama. Flossie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
So, folks, if you were with us in the first segment, you heard Flossie's amazing story. She was a military wife, was actually going to be a doctor, and realized that that wasn't necessarily the right path. How can I do something different? Started a company called Healthy Mama and is transforming people and families' relationship to food and starting to make it a healthy lifestyle. And she went through this personal journey of, you know, losing a lot of weight to now being a healthy, vibrant woman and a mama. And now she's delivering food to those that need it and want it. Tell us a little bit what, like, you know, you hear about these, the Blue Aprons of the world and the this company and that company. Why are you guys different?
Well, I feel like those companies are missing the mark.
Okay.
So not only is Blue Apron still $12, $13, $14 a person, they send you groceries in a box with a recipe. So you get your groceries. You still have to cut it and cook it and serve it. So today's society, many of those people, it's, you know, they're losing customers by the dozen because it's once they try it, they realize it's still work. You're still cooking.
Right.
You're still cutting. So we're basically taking that work out for you. Our food is cooked fresh. It's delivered to your door. All you do is heat and eat. There is no cutting. There is no cooking. There is no cleanup. You just heat and eat.
And how many meals do you have?
So we've been in business commercially now for almost 22 months, and we have sold almost 500,000 meals in San Diego County.
Wait a minute, what?
Half a million meals.
Half a million meals in 22 months?
In 22 months, all organically with next to no marketing outside of word of mouth and social media.
Healthy Mama is killing it.
We're working on it.
You guys are doing great.
We're trying. We're doing our best.
And what do you attribute that, you know, that rapid growth and that demand to?
So, first of all, our food's delicious. Everybody loves the food. So if you don't like the food, it doesn't matter what it costs, you're never going to buy it again. Food tastes great. It's healthy. It's affordable. It's between $3 and $8 a meal. Our most expensive meal is $8.99. And that's if you want steak or salmon. So
that's affordable. Like, I mean, you can't go out the door and go get a sandwich for under 10 bucks nowadays.
No. So our average adult meal is around $6. You can't get McDonald's nowadays for
$6. No, unfortunately, I still like McDonald's.
No, McPoison is what we call it in our house. So,
so I got to transform.
I'm sending you food immediately.
Okay.
So basically, it's just, it's affordable, it's delicious, and it's easy. So we're trying to break down some barriers that many people think healthy food is expensive. They think it's bland. They think a meal delivery service is only for rich people.
Right.
We serve everywhere from La Jolla to, you know, complexes in National City. Like, we feed UFC fighters. We feed children in schools. We feed the military. We feed Navy SEALs for their training trips. We literally feed everybody because it's delicious and it's affordable and it's easy. So we're not like Blue Apron. We're not telling you to do it yourself. We're not promising you're going to have massive weight loss. We're not saying you're going to get off your diabetes medication. All of that's going to happen. We're just promising it's healthy, it's delicious, and it's affordable. The
healthy,
rest is going to happen.
Delicious and affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And you're covering a wide spectrum of people, which is fantastic.
Which is what most other companies also don't do. They don't have anything for families. They don't have anything for kids. We offer all of our meals, individual, family style, kids, low carb, double protein, and bodybuilder. So each dish has 7 variations, or vegan or vegetarian sometimes as well. And then a menu that's 25 menu items wide. You can order one menu item or you can order 30. You can order this week, not order next week. It's no subscription, no commitment. You get exactly what you want when you want.
That is fantastic. And one of the things I heard you say is, you know, you serve a wide group of people. Mm-hmm. And one of those is military families.
Absolutely.
And I love that. And tell us more about your commitment to the military.
So as a military spouse, as I, you know, said before, I've had a really rough road, as most military spouses do, trying to get a career for myself with kids and my husband's, you know, work schedule. The military is always going to own you no matter what you do. You do what they say you do. So even after years of trying to get to medical school, I finally hit that submit button. I'm like, finally, I applied to med school. He got deployed. I was like, what am I supposed to do with 4 kids? How am I supposed to make it through medical school by myself? So I, you know, every job I had, I moved all over the place and I was deemed unreliable because I live in a place where I don't have family down the street to pick up a kid. You literally move into a place, you meet your neighbor as fast as possible and say, can I list you as an emergency contact? Because you don't have help with your kids. You don't have help if you get a flat tire. You depend on other spouses and their husbands to support you. So essentially, as soon as I started this, I wanted to hire military spouses. Mm. I said, we are very smart, intelligent, hardworking people who are highly underemployed because we're deemed unreliable. And that's not fair. We're not unreliable. We just
it's not accurate.
We have so many more demands on our time than most people do. So we have a very flexible hiring plan where we have girls that come and they work as floaters. They just kind of tell us on a weekly basis, I can work this week, I can't work next week. We've had spouses come in that we've helped start their own companies and have worked for us for a long time. We have drivers who are military spouses. They bring their kids with them while they work. So
that's awesome. Love it.
We have
all
kids.
Right. Put
in
little
the
Johnny in the back seat. All right, we're going to go do some deliveries.
Yeah, some of the kids are little sharks, though. They start to charge their moms a dollar a delivery. So
little hustlers.
Yeah, but we even hire military dependents. We've had almost, I think, 16 teenagers that have worked for us that are military dependents that are getting their foot in the door on what the real workplace is like. So we're doing the best we can to be flexible. That if someone's husband gets called to duty last week, or you know, last minute, or a kid gets sick, we cover their shifts. I'm not going to penalize them. I know the lifestyle. As long as I know they're a reliable, hardworking employee, then they can have the day off. I'll cover it. This person will cover it. You take the day off. Your husband came home unexpectedly. I'll do your delivery route for you. So it's definitely a different hiring model. But because of it, I have the most dedicated employees on the planet who truly believe in me and our mission.
That is fantastic. thank you for who you are and thank you for what you're doing for
absolutely
people.
And now I'm trying to teach other companies that, you know, not only should there be benefits for the veteran themselves, as in flexible hiring, mm-hmm. and, you know, if an active duty member gets a part-time job, they have all these added benefits, that military spouses should be allowed these benefits as well.
And what is, you know, what does that look like? How are you participating in the community? How are you, you know, giving back?
So I've been a part of several boards and organizations. I've worked with San Diego Grantmakers. I've worked with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau on different things for like small business owners and women-owned business. So I've sat on a roundtable with the FDIC. I've done the best I can to show by example, but also put it on people's radars. And it's crazy because companies like Qualcomm, who have whole veteran hiring divisions, after speaking to the head of that department, said that the military spouse wasn't even on the radar. And it's like, well, if you have a gap to fill for a minimum percentage requirement that you have to hire for veterans, what if you could fill the other half of that gap with military spouses?
Right.
And what if legally you could ask on an application, are you a military spouse? And a military spouse wouldn't feel bad answering that question because they know your company's going to support them. Because if they don't know that, they're going to answer no all day long because right. they don't want to be deemed unreliable. So the change has to start with a lot of different things.
Wow. And so, I mean, you're cheerleading that conversation.
Absolutely. It's a conversation that hasn't been brought to the table, but companies and organizations like the Rosie Network are finally saying, hey, the spouses are here too. Can we get some, you know, rights and some things in our favor? Because we're back here keeping down the home front and taking care of the kids, but we still want to work. We still want to participate in our careers and our families.
Absolutely. I mean, and the Rosie Network is a fantastic organization. They're dear friends of the show. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love in this is you're in essence a thought leader around how you hire the military spouse. What is your workforce like? I mean, those guys must love you.
Yeah, you know, like I try to be the best boss possible where, you know, I want them to want to work for me. I don't ever want anybody to feel like it's just a job. I want them to feel like they're a part of what we're doing. They're a part of our mission. They're a part of what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I've even had spouses come to me and say, hey, I'm applying for this job at the Sheriff's Department. Can I just work for you for 3 months? Because I need something on an application that says I've worked in the last 10 years. Absolutely. Can I help you with admin? I'll do it pro bono. And we literally sit down and game plan. Okay, you're going to be here only for 3 months. I'll help you do this. I'll help you learn this. I'll help you learn that. And then out the door they go. And we still hire military spouses that are, they don't even live here anymore. So one of the girls that started this with me in my home kitchen still works for us. She's a Marine wife. She worked through her first pregnancy. They got transferred. She lives in Virginia. And she handles all of our admin, our customer service, and works remotely while taking care of her daughter. So it's a team environment of what can we do to help each other.
I love it. I love it. So now how many employees are you up to? What does the team look like?
Well, currently we are just getting ready for a holiday stand down for our company. So we have about 25 employees on staff right now. We usually stay maxed about 40, 45 employees, but we've created 90 jobs since we began.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In less than 2 years.
Okay. What does the future look like for Healthy Mama?
It's huge.
It's bright.
So we just moved into our brand new facility less than a month ago. And this facility is now going to allow for the growth that we could only dream of. So we're hoping to, by the end of 2018, we will have retail products in stores. We will hopefully have some storefronts around and we will be shipping nationwide.
I love your vision.
Yeah, you got to dream big.
That's it. You got to dream big. How can the Rise Up community, what can our listeners do to get involved and to support you?
Well, you can order the food.
What's your website?
It's healthy-mama, MOMMA.com. So you can order the food or you can just support us by getting the word out there for what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. The company has grown into a beast of a company and there's been some growing pains as with any business. But we have some great things set up for 2018. This new facility, new partnerships, new contracts. It's going to be huge for us. So just keep supporting what we're doing.
It's exciting. It's exciting. And thank you for what you're doing. Any parting words for our guests?
Just try to make some good decisions, you know, with the holidays coming up. Like I said, every two good choices for every bad choice that you make. So get a little more active, drink a little more water, only have one cookie, not five.
Noted. I am that person. Flossie Hall, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for what you're doing. Folks, you definitely want to rush to healthy-mama.com. We're going to have that on sdriseup.com. We're going to post everything on Facebook and social media. Folks, I'm your host, James Carmody. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. Make some healthy decisions. And remember, replace one thing this weekend. Add another glass of water. Make some shifts for yourself and be that leader for yourself. All right? You're listening to Rise Up Radio, and remember to rise up.